Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So what do the nations of Egypt, Haiti, and Yemen have in common? Well, for one thing, they have all had food riots in the last week. People taking to the streets to protest the rising cost of food. A nationwide strike begins over that issue today in Burkina Faso. Senegal, Ivory Coast, and Mauritania have had deadly food riots in the last 2 months. There were tortilla riots in Mexico last year. And today's Times of London has a story about fear of rice riots across East Asia. At the moment, any farmer in the Philippines caught hoarding rice risks spending the rest of his life in jail for the crime of economic sabotage, according to the Times. And today, Sir John Holmes, the Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator for the United Nations, warned that climate change, combined with recent steep increases in basic foods, was a volatile mix worldwide. Princeton economist Paul Krugman wrote about the underlying causes of this, natural and man-made, in his New York Times column yesterday, the column called Grains Gone Wild, and he's with us now. Hi, Dr. Krugman. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, good morning.
And I want to open up the phones right away, primarily for immigrants from anywhere in the world, to tell us what you're hearing from your country of origin about rising food prices, because just from the rundown that I gave, this seems to be a growing worldwide phenomenon. So immigrants or anyone here who travels frequently to other countries or is in touch with other countries, what are you hearing about food prices, food shortages, anywhere else in the world that you have personal contact with? Call us if this includes you. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to our comments page at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Dr. Krugman, can you give us an overview from where you sit of just how much of a world food crisis there is? As you say in your article, we're hearing a lot about a world financial crisis these days, but not much about this.
Yeah, so if you look at basics, rice has doubled in price in a relatively short period of time. Corn 2.5 times. Wheat prices have tripled. And I think it's, you know, any American family sees it at the supermarket, but we don't have a real sense of just how serious this is for a lot of the world. First of all, there are a lot of countries where many families spend 2/3 of their budget on food. And they spend it on not on processed food, not on meat even, but on your basic grains is a large part of it. So you're seeing a tremendous increase in the price of essentials that are. This is like a depression level impact on the standard of living of people who were living pretty close to the edge anyway, and it's affecting hundreds of millions, if not billions, of people around the world.
You cite some causes that are nobody's fault, including what you call the march of the meat-eating Chinese. Are they increasing their meat consumption so much recently?
Yeah, this is not just the Chinese, of course, but what we're seeing is a lot of growth in successful third world economies that are on their way up to the first world. And one of the things that happens is that people, as they grow richer, tend to eat a diet that is less rice and more meat. And that's even though people may not be increasing their caloric intake, it turns out that it takes a lot of calories of animal feed to produce 1 calorie of meat.
7 to 1, according to the stat you cite. That is 700 calories of animal feed to produce 100 calories of beef.
Yeah, and that's one of the higher ones. So chicken, it's 200 to 100. But even so, we're seeing, so this all increases the demand for, essentially for, there's a competition set up between food and feed, and with an increased demand for total food supply.
Is it more profitable for some reason to grow grain for feed than grain for food?
Well, it's just, you know, both uses are competing for the same land. They're mm-hmm. competing often for the same foodstuff. So you can eat corn directly, or you can feed it to animals, and if you have more animals, the price is going to go up. And so it's a good thing. We want to see more of the world living well. We want to see more middle-class people in the world. But it turns out that some of the prosperity of the growing world middle class is coming at the expense of the world's poor.
It's an irony that more prosperity is leading to more poverty.
Yeah, and it's not that ironic because it's actually this is the way things have historically worked. There is some competition for resources. There's a little bit of Malthus in today's world, where it appears that farmland is in scarce supply. So that's a really big issue, and it's there's a growing population as well. So just plain population pressure, which I didn't mention in the column, is one issue. But the thing that's really pushing it now is the rise of China and other emerging economies.
Madhu in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Paul Krugman. Hi, Madhu. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. I love your show.
Thank you.
I actually live in New Jersey and work in Brooklyn, but I've been going to the local, in New Jersey, Indian grocery store, and over the last 2 years, I have seen my weekly bill go up from $25, $30 a week to closer to $100, and my groceries really include vegetables, rice, and legumes, lentils.
You're talking about here.
That's here, and when I speak to my folks back home in India, it's the same story. It is much harder because, as you rightly said, two-thirds of their monthly income does go into food, buying food. So when the prices of lentils goes up, that's a primary source of protein for many Indians, whether they're vegetarian or non-vegetarian. It really doesn't matter. It's a big source of protein. And there was a time 2 years ago when the crop of lentils was so poor that the Indian government, restricted export of the lentils to out of the country, and the prices just quadrupled. And there was a scare going around that you better buy up more lentils because the shelves are going to be empty.
Hmm. Madhu, thank you for that report. Paul Krugman, any reaction to that? I mean, she's talking about a quadrupling of prices in New Jersey.
Yeah, I haven't seen I haven't looked at lentils. I wouldn't be surprised if it's most of the focus has been on essentially the starches on corn and wheat and rice. But I'm actually, after this is all done, actually I do know that soybeans have gone up sharply in price. In fact, they've gone up so much that U.S. farmers have been switching land that was turned from soybeans over to corn because of the demand for ethanol is going back to soybeans now. So sure, these things, and of course part of the thing is that these things are all related. So all of these prices are going up together. And again, if you're living, if you're eating processed food for which this is only part of the cost, you don't see the full inflation. But if you're living as most of the world does, eating grains and lentils, then we're in. This is very severe. And again, this is big. We're talking about, half the world basically lives on rice. So these rice prices are enormously important. And in human terms, this is just a much. I'm really interested in the financial crisis. It's important, but this is actually probably almost certainly actually doing a lot more human damage than the financial crisis right now.
Abby in Westchester, in touch with the Philippines. Hi, Abby. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Who are you talking to, and what are you hearing?
Well, I still hear from my brother, who is an agricultural engineer in the Philippines, and he is also experiencing the same, especially because during harvest time now, he can no longer predict when he can produce as much as he used to because of drought and unpredictability of weather conditions.
So this article that I was citing from the Times of London about fear of rice riots across Asia, and it cited that law that any farmer in the Philippines caught hoarding rice risks spending the rest of his life in jail for the crime that they call economic sabotage. Is that news to you?
It is news to me, but I won't be surprised because, rice being the major staple in that country. So, I know that from my brother who still lives there, tells me that it is, again, very, very difficult to raise rice, to produce rice there now.
Why?
And, because, you know, drought and unpredictable typhoons, et cetera. So, for example, he told me that he invested about $5,000 in one season. He didn't get any from that production. So it's hard for him.
Abby, thank you for your call. Yeah. And Dr. Krugman, you did mention a natural cycle of drought, but that may have some connection to climate change in your column.
It's always tricky. There is a significant amount of bad weather issues affecting crops, and it's always tricky to assign any particular weather event to climate change, but the way that they're coming sort of in combination. So you've got torrential rains have been delaying the rice planting in the U.S., for example. Is that climate change? Well, can't say yes or no, but the fact that on average we're seeing more of these, and Australia is the really startling one. Australia is now in an unprecedented 9-year drought that has cut wheat production by 60%, and this is one of the breadbaskets of the world, or was, drought is one of the predicted effects of climate change on Australia. So there you can see something that is probably a link, and these things spill over. So high wheat prices, because Australia doesn't have water, ends up spilling over and being reflected in the price of rice and lentils.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with New York Times columnist Paul Krugman on the growing worldwide food shortage. And if this is the first you're hearing of this, there were food riots just in the last week in Egypt, Haiti, and Yemen. As I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, there is a nationwide strike beginning over this issue today in Burkina Faso. You heard me just mention the Philippines and the Times of London story today about fear of rice riots in Asia. And we're taking phone calls just for another few minutes from immigrants from anywhere in the world to talk about what you're hearing from your country of origin. And Gardish in Rockland, you're on WNYC. Hello, Gardish.
Hi. I'm from Haiti, like you said. And, food prices have been going up in Haiti for years now, but recently it's gotten to the point where people are actually dying of malnutrition. But what's interesting to me, I didn't know the rice situation with the Philippines, but I recently overheard a conversation where someone was talking to his brother in Haiti, and the brother was telling him how the price for rice is going up, and his solution was, well, tell the family just don't eat meat, just eat vegetables and rice. And I'm like, well, don't they need meat as part of, but they're not financially, they're not able to eat everything we would have in the food pyramid or what have you. So it's like, I don't know what the solution is, but we definitely...
Why the change, do you think, in Haiti, which was already long the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere? What has changed in the last few years, if you have an idea, Gardish?
I'm not sure what has changed. I know it's gotten worse. One of the biggest things for Haitians living in Haiti is people from around the world who send money. And I know that has decreased, because when the economy decreases in other parts of the world, then you have less money to send. I know that's affecting it, but I'm not sure what the other reasons would be.
Gardish, thank you for your call.
Yeah.
Dr. Krugman?
If I can weigh in, I mean,
please.
The point is we've got a global marketplace in foods, or we did until this crisis hit. So I don't know whether Haiti is an importer of food, but anyway, the prices are linked around the world. So the Philippines, the big issue in the Philippines, although they are having problems with their own rice harvest, is that they import about 15% of their rice, and with rice being scarce around the world, that 15% is getting hard to find. So it's all linked. In a way, this is, I mean, the upside of globalization in food, anyway, is that if you have a bad harvest in one place, you can import food from someplace else to make up the difference. The downside of it is that bad weather in Australia can end up producing famine in Haiti. And what we're seeing right now is that instead of local grain shortage is. We're seeing a global grain shortage, and it's pretty nasty.
Let me take one more call, and then I want to ask you about a policy prescription that's in your column, and then we'll be out of time. Mohammed in Yonkers, you're on WNYC, originally from Egypt, Mohammed?
Yes, and actually, yesterday I saw on the Egyptian TV, satellite TV, that there is a new law in Egypt to prevent export of rice, and it is the same reason, because the local rice is not enough now for the Egyptians, and that's why they stopped exporting it. And this is really scary that all over the world this is a problem, and the changes in weather also has something to do with it. So it's kind of a scary picture, kind of gloomy a little bit. So,
Mohammed, I don't know if you've heard about the riots in Egypt, the food riots that were reported in the last week, or if you know what it is that people are actually rioting for. Is it to vent their anger and frustration solely, or are they asking for certain policies from their government?
Mainly frustration because of the prices and everything is going up. So it is a general strike. There is no clear request, just it's an expression of frustration. And unfortunately, it is something which is universal all over the world, but because of the economy in Egypt, I believe it is getting to be like the people just able to survive. So it is really a gloomy picture. I don't know. The whole world is going where? I don't know. It is not a good thing.
Mohammed, thank you so much for checking in. Please call us again. And the whole world is going, I don't know where. It's not a good thing. I think that's our quote of the day, unfortunately, so far, Dr. Krugman. What about policies, short-term and long-term? One thing you call for in your column is a pushback against biofuels, which may have many listeners thinking, wait a minute, biofuels, I thought that was the green alternative.
Yeah, it turns out that we were sold a bill of goods on this. Corn ethanol, which is enormously popular among U.S. politicians because Iowa is the first caucus state, corn ethanol turns out to be really, really a bad idea. You use up the estimates range anywhere from 70 to 100% of the energy contained in a gallon of ethanol produced from corn. You have to use that much energy just to produce it. So it's you're not even getting much energy gain out of the thing. And you're almost certainly accelerating climate change in the process. And meanwhile,
skeptical antennae. Is this a learning curve, or were we literally sold a bill of goods as something that's not green, being green by Archer Daniels Midland or whomever?
I think we were sold a bill of goods. If you look at the, there was clearly enormous pressure to, in the research, to come up with reasons why this might be a good idea. So we were sold it by Archer Daniels Midland. I wrote a column many years ago called "Driving Under the Influence" about how it is that we got to be required to use ethanol and gasoline. It sounds good, but it doesn't actually stand up. And now it turns out there's this side effect, which is that we're diverting resources away from agricultural production for food. So we already have the food feed competition. Now we've got the food fuel competition as well. That's not most of the story. Most of the story is the meat-eating Chinese. But we're making it worse with biofuels.
So are there any short-term policies? I mean, we've talked about biofuels. We've talked about climate change, obviously. Are there any short-term policies that can help alleviate these food shortages that are leading to the riots? Because the riots come from immediate need.
Yes, and the thing is that there is not actually insufficient food to feed the world's population right now. It's the rising prices because there's competition for it, which means that you can actually help those most in need. I mean, the immediate thing to do is money, so that the countries where people are desperate can afford to buy the food they need to survive. So you can't do anything to increase food production, now.
Old-fashioned foreign aid?
Yeah, emergency aid. I mean, we do some of that, but the budget. The UN has a food aid program, and the budget is just about exhausted because of the situation. So right now, just help the needy immediately. Longer term, there's a lot of stuff we need to do, but that's what you need to do, this month.
New York Times columnist Paul Krugman, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you who called, checking in on your countries of origin from all over the world. More to come on this, and there should be a lot more in the media. I have a feeling that there will be on this. This should be front page news, much more than it is, in my humble opinion. Coming up in a minute, we will check in on the Petraeus hearing in the Senate Armed Services Committee. Stay with us.